Welcome to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast. Every 2 weeks, we explore news and issues affecting hunters, anglers, and conservation across the northeastern United States. If you enjoy the content here, be sure to subscribe to our print or digital versions by calling 800-535-5191 or visit our website at outdoornews.com. Now, here's your host and a man who claims he's immune to buck fever, New York Outdoor News editor Dan Ladd.
This episode of the Great Northeast Podcast is brought to you by the Family Forest Carbon Program, a collaborative initiative created by two nonprofit organizations, the American Forest Foundation and the Nature Conservancy, assisting landowners in improving the health of their land with long-term sustainable forest management practices while providing guaranteed annual income. Learn more at familyforestcarbon.org. Welcome to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, coming at you at the very end of 2024. Que sera de 2024, and that is the topic of our podcast today. We're going to look back at some of the big stories, especially here in New York, as we reminisce on a number of topics, actually. We don't really do a top 10 or anything like that. We just pick the headlines and kind of wrap them up. We're going to talk all about that first. Here we are at the end of the year. And boy, who knows what to say about the weather here in the Northeast. I guess if you don't like it, just wait a few minutes. We went from some sub-zero weather ahead of the Christmas holiday to basically fall-like weather that we have now. That's good news for some here in New York. If you're an ice fisherman, you were kind of getting out there a little bit and enjoying that, which was something we haven't seen in a few years. And we will have some coverage on that in the upcoming January 10th issue of New York Outdoor News, the first one for 2025. But the other thing is it's going the other way, at least right now. We have had a couple of days of temperatures near or at 50 degrees, and it looks like we're going to have a couple more going into the new year. Now, of course, the higher you are in elevation, whether you're in New York or Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, Pennsylvania, any of the northeastern states, of course, the farther north you are or higher in elevation, probably the better off you are here in terms of keeping whatever ice you have. Other areas, not so sure. So the old moniker of being safe out there, we can't stress that enough. So we want folks to be safe on the ice. For sure. The other thing, at least here in New York, we have a late muzzleloading season. The holiday hunt is going on through New Year's Day. And, of course, the seasonable weather has really brought out the folks to enjoy that. And that's something that it seems to have happened every year. And just interesting subject on its own that we've been tackling lately in New York Outdoor News, a variety of opinions of whether the hunt should take place or not. But that's a debate for another day. We're going to come right back with some of the top stories for 2024 right after this.
Your land is your legacy, but keeping it healthy and thriving means caring for it now and in the future. The Family Forest Carbon Program can help you do right by your land with guaranteed income, help developing a forest management plan, and advice from experts. If you own 30 acres or more of forest land in Vermont, Massachusetts, or New York, you may be eligible to enroll in the Family Forest Carbon Program. Visit familyforestcarbon.org and enroll today.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. As we wrap up 2024, we're about to talk about some of the top stories that have gone down this year, especially on the New York side of things. We highlighted these in the most recent issue, the December 27th issue of New York Outdoor News. But let's talk about them a little bit. Just see if we can maybe get caught up on where things are at a little more so than we are able to do on the print side, and or at least just put them out there for you. We're going to start with chronic wasting disease, which was discovered in Herkimer County back in October. This was an interesting discovery. Chronic wasting disease has... we've been lucky with it here in New York. Not so lucky as they're dealing with on the Pennsylvania end right now, and even very close to New York around the Alleghenies. They've had an increase, an uptick, I should say, there. Here in New York, we've been lucky. It was first discovered in 2005 in Oneida County. That incident was basically crushed. DEC, Ag and Markets, our New York health officials, they did an excellent job of squandering that. But it reared its ugly head again this year at a private facility in Herkimer County again. And this was a red deer. This was not a whitetail. And it took us a while to get that straight because we weren't getting everything up front. It was just it was a deer. It was in Herkimer County. It was here. It took a while for the story to develop, but the good news here is that there's no new news, and that's important. There really hasn't been any reports from DEC. We'll be looking into this as the new year gets underway, but we're sure that them, along with Ag and Markets and the Department of Health, are doing everything they can to find out if the disease did spread to the whitetail herd outside of the facility. And so far, we haven't heard that it has or has not. But again, no news is good news. If you're someone who hunts this area, there's been some opportunities to help out. If you harvested a deer, they have a drop box. It kind of looks like something you'd put your when you donate clothes or returnable cans and bottles. It looks like a bin like that that you can drop a deer head off in. And so DEC wants to examine those, and that can help a lot. And we don't know what the hunter participation has been with that, because this was discovered just before the southern zone deer season kicked into full gear. So perhaps we tried our best to get the word out. We're sure other media outlets did the same. And hopefully there's been nothing but zeros for that. So again, chronic wasting disease in Herkimer County. No news is good news. Moving on to the next top story. We now have a bass tournament permit system. Well, we're about to as we enter 2025 coming into New York. Now, this is only for bass tournaments, largemouth and smallmouth bass. It's a permitting system. The permits are free. They're required for tournaments where there's 10 or more people taking part, and they got to be requested 45 days in advance because it can take DEC up to 30 days to process these. So what this means is there's a lot of tournaments here in New York. I mean, we have Bass Waters, Lake Champlain, the St. Lawrence River, Oneida Lake, Cayuga Lake, just to name a few. There's tons more, obviously. The Hudson River, Lake George, various Finger Lakes, small ponds everywhere. But obviously the bigger ones host tournaments, and there's been a lot of, there's a lot of bass clubs, county bass clubs, regional bass clubs. Kayak bass fishing is taking off. So there's all kinds of tournaments going on, and DEC wants to get a handle on this. Probably where this is leading is I know we're heading for a bass management plan in New York, a black bass management plan. This is something we'll probably be dealing with folks on the Vermont side, because Lake Champlain is a major bass fishery, hosts dozens of tournaments every year. And same with our friends in Canada on the St. Lawrence side of things. So the permit system will probably give DEC a handle on how many permits, how many people, maybe some input on how many fish are being caught and released. The mortality rates is a big topic of discussion when you get into some of these meetings where people are pro and con when it comes to tournaments. But tournaments are here to stay, folks. Tournament fishing is big business in New York State. It's big business across the country. And we'll see what comes out of this permit system. As a journalist, a researcher, someone who works in the outdoor media, we're very interested to see what comes from these permits in the form of data. And that's good stuff. DEC uses it from a scientific perspective. We're interested in examining that, and whether we can find angling trends, things we can share with anglers that may or may not help them catch more fish, or we just want to report what's going on. So we're looking forward to hearing, if anything, what comes out of this permit. And this will be a story that's got a long list of to be continued to go with it. So again, bass tournament permits are required this year for any permit that's fishing for bass, just bass, not trout or other species, but with 10 or more people taking part. Big story that rolled in, kind of a leftover from 2023, but really took center stage here in New York during the early part of 2024, was the Governor Kathy Hochul signing of a coyote contest ban after our state legislature had passed the bill allowing it to take place. So we had a lot of clubs, one big one in Sullivan County, which is along the Pennsylvania border, And we had people taking part in this contest from both states. And in fact, I think there may have even been rules, don't quote me on this, that allowed hunters to hunt in parts of Pennsylvania. And the farmers, of course, down in that neck of the woods are big on these contests. The argument is whether they have any effect or not on populations. But at the short term, they obviously do. But these are big fundraisers for some of these clubs that have them. So same with, there's a squirrel tournament that was going on in the Hudson Valley. That, too, cannot be held under this ban. Now, it doesn't affect, deer hunting tournaments or deer hunting contests, I should say, like a big buck contest, photo contest. And the same with some of the things that go on during the turkey season, similar contest. But who knows? We don't know if that's going to be what's next. But if you ask me, this is about wolf management to me. My personal opinion, I'm weighing that here. I've done so in my editorials in this publication. And the folks that are all worried about how many predators are getting shot in the form of canines are worried about wolf. And if you recall, there was a wolf discovery, at least a hunter reported after he shot a big canine. He reported to DEC in 2022. Turned out it was a wolf that migrated here. Now, that doesn't happen a lot. You can count on one hand how many times it's happened in the last 50 years. But things are different now, folks. We have social media. Word spreads quick. Opinion spreads quick. And it's just different than the last one, which was probably 20 years ago. But again, if you ask me, this is about wolf management, as the groups that really want to bring back predators into this state, apex predators like wolves and mountain lions, and they have their reasons. I'm not even going to argue their reasons, but they're very concerned that hunters who are taking big coyotes could mistake for a wolf, and they don't want to see that happen. And that includes the folks who are in our legislature and involved in the Environmental Conservation Committee within that legislature. So bottom line, as of November 1st of 2024, no longer can you have a hunting contest that for the purpose of taking game such as coyotes and squirrels, and makes it unlawful for an individual or organization to sponsor, conduct, promote, or participate in any contest, competition, tournament, or derby with the objective of taking or hunting such wildlife for prizes. So that is that. We've got more of these top stories of 2024 to discuss when we come back right after this.
Like every serious angler in this region, I want to make the most of my time on the water. That's why I read OutdoorNews.com. This all-new digital resource is loaded with valuable tips, lake profiles, up-to-date fishing reports, gear reviews, and breaking news on laws and regulations that affect the sports we love. Plus, OutdoorNews.com will help you catch more and bigger fish. Be prepared and get ahead of the crowd. Join OutdoorNews.com today.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News, coming at you as we wrap up the new year. I should say we wrap up the old year and get ready to bring in the new year. Que sera de 2024. Welcome 2025. Here's wishing everybody a happy and prosperous new year while that's on our minds. But let's look back a little bit, some more at 2024 and some of the bigger stories that have made our headlines, our front pages, and in a lot of cases, these are ongoing issues. So it's a good idea to touch on them. And one that we've discussed on this podcast quite a bit is the round goby. We've had Megan Motley on from the Lake Champlain Group, and Ed Skorupski, who is one of our writers who weighs in on these topics. He's a conservationist. The round goby has been making its way through New York for quite some time, coming in through the St. Lawrence River, getting into the Great Lakes, obviously, the Finger Lakes, the Erie Canal, and eventually the Hudson River. And with it being in the Hudson River, since the Hudson River is connected to Lake Champlain, there's a very large concern that the round goby will make its way to Lake Champlain eventually, and what will happen when it does. Now, the big question that anglers raise, including myself, I asked, okay, what's the big deal? We've got it in Oneida Lake, and we have an excellent smallmouth fishery there and an excellent walleye fishery. But I guess they're very concerned about the ecosystems in Lake Champlain. Lake Champlain has a lot of species. You have salmon, walleye, steelhead, all kinds of panfish, muskies, and of course, you have an excellent bass fishery, but there's also been quite the lake trout recovery in Lake Champlain. So there's a big concern about gobies getting into Lake Champlain, which they would do through a body of water called the Barge Canal. It's connected to the Hudson River. In fact, it passes through my hometown of Fort Ann, New York. And the canal has locks. There's all kinds of ideas in place as to what could happen here. And it'll be basically not just DEC working on this, but the New York State Canal Corporation. So this is an ongoing issue, one we'll be tracking. But the bottom line is the gobies, they found some eDNA near one of the locks in the Hudson River north of Albany. And that set the alarm off back in August as to say, oh boy, that doesn't mean goby's present, but the DNA is. So there's been a lot of proposals of what could happen here, including some folks say just shut the canal down to boating traffic because that allows the locks to open up and these gobies to move north. And that's one topic that has been discussed, how much traffic is on that canal. We have yachts that pass through. There used to be barges. When I was a kid growing up, it was commerce. It was industry. It was shipping. There's apparently not as much of that going on as there was in my youth, but there still is to some degree. So let's see what happens with the round goby and the issues of it surrounding its possible infestation into Lake Champlain. Next, freshwater fishing records. Boy, we keep breaking them here in New York. And this year, Cayuga Lake, which set the largemouth, reset the smallmouth record a few years ago, did so again this year with largemouth bass. July 11th, a 12.3-pound largemouth bass was caught in Cayuga Lake by a Pennsylvania angler who was getting ready to fish a bass tournament there. That broke the 1987 record. And, not long after that, the St. Lawrence River broke the record that had been set in Cayuga a few years earlier. This time it was near Cape Vincent, a 9-pound smallmouth bass caught by an angler. I mean, that's just, wow, that's unbelievable. And it just shows you what we have for fisheries here and why, when we touched about on the permit system earlier, why groups like Major League Fishing and Bass come here and hold tournaments. Although neither of them are holding major tournaments in 2025. These fisheries are kind of getting a year off from the big boy bass tournaments. But again, both records set this year. That's unheard of. And the St. Lawrence River was Bassmasters Magazine number one fishery in the country again this year, and for good reason. And one other record that was broke this year was the long-nosed gar record. A 53-1/4-inch long-nosed gar was caught in Butterfield Lake, Jefferson County, back in June, and that broke a state record. It seems like every year two or three go, and some of them are more uncommon. Not your trout or bass or whatever, but some of them are fish species that we don't talk a lot about. And that was the case with the long-nosed gar catch. It weighed 15 pounds, 14 ounces. And these are interesting prehistoric-looking fish if you've ever seen them. And that was an interesting story. Some good news, some more good news. We'll start with the bad part of it. If you recall, in early 2023, we had an avian flu infestation, at the Reynolds Game Farm in Ithaca, which wiped out pretty much the entire flock of pheasants and raised a lot of questions of what would happen in 2023 for stocking pheasants. Well, credit DEC on this one, folks. They really hit it out of the park last year when they were able to get some pheasants from our friends in Pennsylvania. Stocking numbers weren't what they usually are, but there were pheasants out there for folks to hunt last year, including all of the youth weekends that are a big part of what we do in New York. But the good news is they've really rebounded this year. I mean, they're still stocking pheasants, by the way, as of right now. They're still leftover pheasants. There's a expanded program going on where groups can get them for private property if they want to hold a pheasant hunt. Surplus, there was plenty for the youth this year, and they really did a great job finding birds and raising birds this year. The Dale Chick program was back, but those sponsored hunts are continuing to be ongoing. So kudos to DEC and their partners for rebounding nicely from all of this. Maybe one of the bigger stories this year, especially for hunters in New York State, was going to printed sporting licenses. This is what I'm still hearing about and probably will hear about because there's just a lot of criticism over this, even though other states do it, because it basically allows us hunters to just print out our license. If we have a PDF of it, print it out. So obviously that raises concerns about people being able to break the law by, one, first not reporting a deer they harvest, and then just printing another tag and putting on it and going back out there. But that was a change DEC made this year as the sporting license season began in September. They went on sale in August, and that's the way it is. They're getting away from that waterproof paper. And down the road, you're probably going to see more involvement from your smartphone here. They're encouraging the use and reporting your harvest through the Hunt Fish New York app. If you have proof of license on that app and show it to a law enforcement officer, that's proof of licensure. What it is not is carcass tag. You still have to have a physical carcass tag for deer, bear, and turkeys, and anything in trapping that you might have to seal, something like along those lines. I can't speak to that much because I'm not a trapper. But the bottom line is it's basically your printed paper. You're on your own for figuring out how to protect it. In my case, I used what used to be the back tag holder, which also is no longer needed or required in New York State. You used to have to wear a back tag in the southern zone. You don't have to do that anymore. But I just take that back tag holder and put my carcass tag in that and pinned it on the ear of a buck I shot this year. And that held up very thoroughly coming down, you know, a good 25-mile ride from where I shot the deer to get it back to my home. And I also sent that right along with the taxidermist. So this buck went to the taxidermist this year. I was that lucky. And that tag went with it. Those are some more of the top stories from 2024. We got a few more to cover when we come back right after this.
There's a great program available for youth who love to hunt and fish. It's called the Outdoor News Junior Pro Team, and any youth 18 or under can join for free at jrproteam.com. JPT program showcases useful videos and tips to help encourage the next generation to become stronger anglers and hunters. It's a platform to celebrate and inspire those outdoor loving youth. Check out the photos of Outdoor News Junior Pro Team members on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube, and visit our jrproteam.com for more information.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Land, editor of New York Outdoor News, wishing everyone again a happy new year for 2025. As we close out some of the stories, the bigger stories that highlighted the year of 2024. And one of the things that happened here in New York that we're going to catch up on this because we're about to approach the one-year anniversary of it in March, and that was Remington left New York after over 200 years, 208 years, I believe it was, in Ilion in Herkimer County. Big factory over there, a museum. They made everything over there, the 870s. And then they closed up in March. They're gone. They moved off to a southern state. I think they went to Georgia. And with that went the last 200 jobs or so that were associated with the plant that used to employ a lot more than that. Big change of life for people over there. As someone who grew up around a mill town, Glens Falls, New York, and watched mill after mill closed, my own father was employed by a mill, and that's happening everywhere, and this is a similar thing, but for us in the New York Outdoor News world, this was a big story. Remington, we were proud to have Remington in New York. Unfortunately, our government didn't do much, our state government didn't do much to support them or, you know, keep the jobs here. There's kind of that anti-gun sentiment going on, and I don't know, we just like to think that things could have been done to keep those jobs in Herkimer County and keep that plant operating here, whether it was through tax incentives or other things that are done for various businesses in this state. That didn't happen. So we're probably going to look into like a Remington 1 year later type of thing as that approaches in March. But the bottom line is the factory doors are closed. Haven't heard much about what's going to become of that property. It's a big factory, and it was sad to see Remington go. It really was. One other topic, and we'll talk about the year ahead a little bit. And this is part of that. Back in March also, DEC released a brook trout plan for the Adirondacks. And we're really hoping that we'll get this back on track. It seemed like it was really moving along pretty good. And then it kind of stalled. There was a public comment period following some public meetings, and it was really interesting and well put together by DEC's fishery staff as to how they want to manage brook trout in the Adirondacks. This is our state fish, by the way. But the Adirondacks are special. There's a lot of ponds up there, cold water ponds, where they're trying to keep established native brook trout populations growing. There's heritage strains in some of these ponds, and they want to continue with that. Really, really interesting stuff if you're a fisherman. And of all the fish out there, I enjoy brook trout fishing the most. And I'm not even a big fish eater. I just like going into the backcountry, going to a pond that's off the beaten path, just as I do with deer hunting. I love deer hunting in the Adirondacks. And I love getting to these brook trout ponds. And when you can catch a few of these brookies or more, it's a very, very rewarding experience. They're beautiful fish. Proud to have them as our state fish here in New York, and looking forward to hopefully getting this brook trout plan back on track. And it was really great in the fact that it simplified things. It's really going to have a lot less special regulations, probably more overall regulations for both regions 5 and 6. And the big thing is those two regions are working together on this, so there'll be like a cross-region team of experts. There's also some public involvement, some angler involvement. So there's just a lot of good things that came out of this plan, at least as it was presented. And hopefully we'll see it come to fruition here in 2025. A couple other things going on this year and ongoing stories. What we did not have this year was a bill in the legislature that would once again try to ban the use of lead ammunition on state properties, public lands. And that doesn't mean we won't have it in 2025, but 2024, we caught a break. And one of the things DEC is doing is they're being proactive with this. They are definitely encouraging hunters to use non-lead ammo, doing so by having an incentive program. You can actually get a rebate here in New York if you buy, like, say, copper ammo and save your receipt. There's a program where you can send it in and get reimbursed. So we'll see what happens with that. Of course, our gun laws here in New York, who knows what's going to come out of our legislature. Our governor and legislature, where they can, seem to want to pass more and more gun laws. I'll tell you something. I was over in Vermont recently, and the folks over there, they'd like to send our governor a thank you note here in New York, because their ammunition business has blossomed in Vermont, and I'm sure it has in Pennsylvania as well and other neighboring states, because here in New York now you have to go through a background check when you buy ammunition, firearm ammunition, and it's even more extensive in some cases than a NICS check for a firearm. And some people are okay, they comply with it. Others are dead set against it and refuse to take part, and those are the folks that are going across state lines, going elsewhere, and buying their ammunition when they do that. That'll be an ongoing story. We'll see what comes up. The lead ammo issue is one that we're always watching here in New York and in other states as well. A few other things to pass on. We just caught wind that the Pennsylvania Game Commission shot down the idea of expanding antlerless deer take in that state. They're looking more at the ag tag program, and they're also looking at more Sunday hunting options there. They've got a big meeting coming up later in January. So if you're a Pennsylvania hunter or someone who visits Pennsylvania, it's very possible you could be poised for some changes over there as well. So we'll see how it all shakes out. 2025 will probably be an interesting year. Who can say what's going to happen, but it just seems like there's always something going on. That's what keeps us in the news business moving, and we're indebted to report on that for you. We've had another great year in some respects. 2024 has been a good one. Other respects, it's been a tough one. I guess that comes with surviving these years and getting through them. We hope you had a prosperous year, and we I once again want to wish you a very happy and prosperous 2025. We hope you've enjoyed this little summary of some of the headlines that have dotted our publication throughout the year and the bigger stories of 2024. And once again, wishing you all a happy new year. For New York Outdoor News and the Great Northeast Podcast, I'm Dan Ladd.
Missed a past episode of the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast? You can find previous programs at outdoornews.com or via your favorite podcast streaming platform. And for the rest of the story on the topics we cover on this program, get yourself a subscription to Outdoor News. Simply call 800-535-5191 or visit us at outdoornews.com. And don't forget to join us again here in 2 weeks to talk everything out of doors. Thanks for listening to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast.